sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop shop for all things sports, meeting life, every single day on your schedule. You never miss a show. You never miss an interview. You never miss anything that's going on, awards, accolades, fantasy football, whatever it may be. Game coverage, if you miss the game, you could go right back and take a look at it. So when it comes to WakeUpCallDT.com and Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter @CallDT, that's CallDT. You will not miss a thing. You can always go back. And I thank everyone that has joined me on my journey, living my dream on Dan Tortora Broadcast Media. I can't tell you what it means to wake up every single day and see my name on a company that I'm running, doing what I love. It is truly an honor and a privilege, and I had the opportunity to continue that honor and privilege by going down to Charlotte, North Carolina for my very first ACC Operation Basketball. And a lot of SU fans will get right into the fan line or calling for basketball already, and I don't enjoy this. I don't like hearing people give up on the team so soon. The ACC wasn't going to be an easy road. I've said that plenty of times before. It's not something that SU fans were going to have an easy go at it. When you're trying to defeat Rutgers and UConn, it's a lot different than playing in a division with Clemson and Florida State and also some of those other teams like Georgia Tech, who Syracuse most recently lost to and lost very lopsided, 56-0. So as you know, on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, we typically start off with a segment, the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. We are going to do that, but we're going to get on the fan line first and foremost to welcome in, right after the game, Jason from Maryland calling into the show, longtime listener, also with Colts Authority, and I've spoken with him before on The Prowl, the Jacksonville Jaguars show that we covered the Indianapolis Colts matchup with the Jags. You can listen to On The Prowl and get my information on the Jaguars right on the On The Prowl page. Can't get easier than that on WakeUpCallDT.com. So the man's been patient. The man's got a lot to say, and the man is on the line. Jason from Maryland, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, buddy. How you doing?
I am hanging in there. I'm very excited because my birthday week is upon us, so I'm very much looking forward to that. I know some Syracuse fans are not having a very pleasant time right now, coming off of an NC State win and then having a Georgia Tech lopsided 56-0 loss, but if it makes fans feel any better, I'm going to be enjoying my birthday pretty soon.
Yeah, my birthday was actually last week, so we have that in common.
And a very October, happy birthday. I know I sent one to you on Twitter, but how was your birthday? What did you end up doing?
Sadly, my birthday was not good. I actually got sick, had to go to the doctor, and I was actually pretty much in bed all weekend. My birthday was Friday, so I was in bed all weekend last week. It was not good. I actually missed a Syracuse game. I did not get to see the NC State game because I was asleep.
So your birthday on Friday the 11th?
Yeah.
Well, a happy birthday to you, Jason. I mean, hopefully things were better. Now once you got, you sound good now, you sound healthy. Did you get an opportunity to re-celebrate your birthday after being sick on your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, I just spent some time with my family and, you know, just enjoyed some football, hung out with some friends, you know, nothing too extravagant. You know, I'm kind of a low-key guy, so I don't know. After you get out of your 20s, it's just another birthday. So, but I'm happy to be alive, and it's great to wake up every day. So that's a beautiful thing.
No, I agree with that. And my fiance Kate keeps jokingly saying that I'm turning 30, which I'm not, 28. But I'm one of those people where age really doesn't matter to me. I have a grandmother who's going to be 97, and her sister who's going to be 99, and both two of the most positive people, if not the most positive people, besides Kate, that I've met my entire life. Great advice. Laugh. Have fun. They could lose their eyesight, lose their hearing. They could not know what day it is, but they're always happy people. So age to me really truly is a state of mind because of the people that I've been blessed to be around growing up. And I'm not worried about 30s or 40s or 50s. All I'm concerned about is that I make every single day count, so when I get to the next birthday, I can look back and say that I'm at least proud of where I've gotten to at this point. And as of right now, I can thank God say that I'm proud for my 27th year, and I am definitely looking forward to number 28.
Yeah, it should be a good year, man. I'm definitely you're doing your thing with your show and getting to cover the ACC and all that. It's gonna be a great year for you, I'm sure.
Very much looking forward to it. And bringing up the ACC, plenty of videos from ACC Media Day and Syracuse Media Day only on youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. It's all free. Over 40,000 hits on the YouTube Wake Up Call DT channel. Cannot thank everybody enough for being a part of that. And you could get so much more, plus an exclusive coming up that nobody knows about. I'm announcing it here right now on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com, that I was able to have Jim Boeheim one-on-one, Syracuse Media Day, and John Swofford, ACC Commissioner, one-on-one from ACC Media Day when I was in Charlotte. And both of those interviews will be coming up on this show. So look at that, Jason. Pretty popular here, going back-to-back with John Swofford and Jim Boeheim.
That's pretty amazing, man. I can't wait to hear the Boeheim interview.
Well, definitely something. And I actually asked him how he handled the media. So, because how I've said for a very long time, pretty much since I've started and even before that, that there's the media and then I put myself on the other side. The reason why I do that is because, yeah, there's good people in the media. There's good people everywhere. But with certain stories that the media fabricates, certain questions that are asked, disrespect, I've just seen a lot of people in the media just be cannibals. And I'm not that type of person. I'm also someone that listens to the person I'm interviewing and tries to really treat them like an individual. So you'll hear Jim Boeheim and I talk about how he responded to all the Coach K questions from ACC Media Day. And even though I am interviewing him, part of the media, it's kind of funny to talk to him about how he responded to the media and what he took away from the media. And yes, folks, you won't be able to see it because you're going to be listening to it, but I got Jim Boeheim to smile, and I'm very proud that I was one of the few times. I think Jim Boeheim smiled 5 times in his life, and I was able to get one of those, so I'm very proud for that. So we're here now with Jason once again on the fan line, calling in from Maryland, and you'll have all that to look forward to coming up, but I want to get to football first and foremost, and Jason's on the line to talk about that, calling in on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. It's 315-503-1326, and Jason, as we always do, I'll ask you your overall thoughts on this, like I do with every caller. What was your overall takeaway from Syracuse, Georgia Tech?
Obviously, the score got away from, I mean, it was exactly like the score said. You know, they got blown out. I would caution fans, you know, to not give up on the team. It doesn't matter if they lose by 1 or 56. It's just one loss. I was disappointed in a couple of things. The amount of penalties that they got, which was kind of lopsided in there. You know, I didn't think the game was called evenly, but it wouldn't have changed the outcome, so I'm not even going to get into that. I was disappointed in that, and I was very disappointed in the effort in the second half. I did not think they played as hard as they could in the second half, and that's something that Scott Schaefer does not put up with. That's not something that's not a Scott Schaefer team. And I was disappointed with that, actually, more than the score or the loss. I just felt like they came out in the second half and they just went through the motions, and they didn't. Whereas at Northwestern, they fought a little harder. You know what I mean? They hung in there. But in this game, the effort, it did not look like it was there. Some really devastating losses. I mean, the loss of John Ramon with the leg injury, which looks very serious. You know, some other guys getting hurt. I mean, you know, it was just a nightmare game. I mean, it's one of those games, honestly, as a coach, you almost just want to take and just burn because it was just that bad. But, I mean, it's one game. They get a bye week, maybe get some guys healthy and get ready for Wake Forest. And hopefully people will come out to the Dome and support the team. I mean, it's not going to be an easy ride the first few years, and you're going to have games like this. And Georgia Tech especially is a tough team to play against as far as just the fact they run such a different style offense with a triple option. It's very difficult to defend. They had, and Syracuse obviously had a difficult time defending it. So I was also a little disappointed in the I thought they got away from the run a little early because I feel like this team should be running 80% of the time and throwing 20% of the time because, honestly, Dan, I've watched Syracuse football for probably, 25 years. This is the worst group of wide receivers I've ever seen them have. The only guy on the only impact receiver they have is Broiled, and he only catches the ball half the time. So they really need to establish the run. It's the strength of their team. Even when they get down by a couple touchdowns, you can't you just with this team specifically, you cannot abandon the run because they're not a passing team. They're going to turn the ball over because their receivers can't get off the line. They can't get off jams. They don't run good routes. There's no separation. I mean, a lot of people want to put the interceptions on Drew Allen and Terrell Hunt. I put most of them on the receivers. They get no separation. I think you said they didn't have a completion in the first, half?
Yeah, for Georgia Tech, they did not have one completion in the first half. All of their yards were on the rushing attack, and obviously their four touchdowns to start the game were all on runs.
Okay. I got confused. I thought you meant Syracuse. Okay, but and that just leads to my point. Like the option they run is just so difficult to stop. And, it was just one of those days, man. I get frustrated like the next guy does, but, I mean, it's one game. I still believe they're capable of making a bowl, as crazy as that sounds after a 56-0 loss. They've got Pittsburgh, Boston College, and Wake Forest at home. Those, to me, are winnable games. At Maryland, Maryland's losing to Wake Forest, at least the last time I saw that. To me, is a winnable game. They're all losable too. But I'm just saying, those are games that they have a shot at. I obviously don't think they're going to beat Florida State. But if they can somehow win three of those four games, I mean, to me, it'd be a successful season if they go to a bowl game. So, they're 3-4, and they're about where I thought they'd be. Did I think they'd lose 56-0? No, and it was disappointing, but. You just move on, man. It's one game. It was bad. It wasn't fun, and nothing went right. But you keep plugging away. You keep getting better, and get ready for Wake Forest in 2 weeks.
Jason, you brought up a lot of points, as always, here on the Fan Line, 315-503-1-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. Here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop shop for sports. And I want to address each of your points. First and foremost, injuries. This is something that, when they happen, it's not something that I want to preface this by saying I'm not giving Syracuse an excuse. What I will say is that Darrell Eskridge, who's had an injury to his hand for a while and has worn a cast on it for a while, for him to have to come out of the game, this man's a fighter. This man plays injured. And most guys do, and I was talking with Rob Drummond about this back on the field that you can hear on the Back on the Field page every single Thursday. It airs on wakeupcalldt.com and also the Sports DT iPhone app, Apple Store. You can get it there and get it on the Google Play Store for all other smartphones. But when I was talking with Rob Drummond, the conversation was about that. It was about the fact that everybody plays injured. There's not a football player on a team that's played a snap that doesn't have a bruise, a break, a tear, separation, something going on that's fatigued. Somebody's affected in some way, shape, or form every single week. Darrell Eskridge being able to play with injury. This is a guy who has the had the cast, and Syracuse has dealt with that before. Rashard Anderson, Keon Lynn. But you look at this team, they don't have their best corner in Keon Lynn. You deal with Julian Wiggum having to come out of the game. John Raymond having to come off on a stretcher. Mackie McPherson, who never comes off, having to come off at the center position. So, and then Chris Clark kind of knocked around a little bit late in the game at wide receiver. So when you see all of these things happen, these are all guys in your rotation. Dyshon Davis didn't play in the game, so Josh Kirkland had to play a lot more. George Morris isn't there to return the ball, so Prince Tyson Gully is asked to do double duty. There was a lot going on in this game that already had Syracuse playing backwards. And injuries don't only affect the injured person. They affect the other guys on the team. Jay Bromley having to do more. Other guys using the rotation of the defensive line that aren't used to maybe having as many snaps, having to come in and play those snaps. Like I said, with Josh Kirkland having to come in, Julian Wiggum having to play more, Wayne Morgan, who I think still is overrated at the DB position for Syracuse, having to do more already with the injuries that have happened to the team. So a lot going on for Syracuse in this game, before the game and during the game, that was affecting them. On the offensive side, running the ball, I agree with you. Syracuse is a team that carries the ball typically 40-plus times per game. When you look at what they've done in the last two games they played in the ACC, 323 yards against Clemson, 362 against NC State. Both of those games, at least 40 carries in each of those games. In this game, 26 carries. Jerome Smith, their leading ball carrier, only takes 11 carries for the game. Prince takes 7. He had 9 before, so not too much different there. Devontae McFarland gets 1. That's not too different either. The big thing here, Terrell Hunt has 6 carries in the game, and he's the third leading rusher on the team. He has 6 carries for negative 6 yards, so he gets negative 1 yards for the negative 1 yard per attempt for Syracuse, getting nothing done here. He had a long run of 9 yards, but that all gets negated. Jerome Smith doesn't get the ball enough here, but this is something that I do agree with you, Jason, definitely, that when you have a team that's carrying the ball 40 to 50 times a game and showing how successful they are, to abandon the run and force the pass with Terrell Hunt, who has had 7 touchdowns to no interceptions non-conference, and in conference play coming into this game, 0 touchdowns against the ACC passing, 5 interceptions. So he has literally shown you on paper and in gameplay that when he plays ACC opponents, he is not scoring through the air. He's scoring on the ground, but not through the air. So to go lopsided, it would make the most sense to go lopsided in the running attack, where he does have touchdowns and where Syracuse is able to get touchdowns. Jerome Smith, Prince Tyson Gully scoring every week. So when I look at what the team's been successful at and what they've been terrible at, it speaks to me that Terrell Hunt should not be out there passing more than he's running or handing the ball off, because he's the exact opposite of what he was in non-conference play. So this to me is something that I was very surprised about. I think they should be running the ball more often than not. I said in the preseason that this was Syracuse's strong suit in a passing conference of the ACC. Now, Georgia Tech, the best match that Syracuse has had. I know some people will say, well, Dan, wasn't it Clemson because they're the number 3 team in the country? And my answer to that is no, because Clemson can't stop the run. But Georgia Tech can stop the run, and they obviously run the ball very well. I want to note the fact that when it comes to running the ball in this game, this is going to shock people. I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're relaxed. I know Jason likes to yell sometimes, so Jason, just put your hand over your mouth for a second. The Georgia Tech team ran the ball with 14 different players. 14. Thomas, Lasky, Lee, Sims, Hill, Godhi, Perkins, Zenon, Byerly, Connors, McClellan, Days, Bostic, and Snoddy. 14 different players ran the ball for Georgia Tech. 14. And Syracuse typically has Jerome Smith, Prince Tyson Gully, Devontae McFarland, George Morris, Ashton Broyled, and Terrell Hunt, and you think that that's a lot. 14 for Georgia Tech. I think the real reason why Syracuse lost the game is because they met their match. They met a team that could stop the run, and they met a team that could run the ball. And I don't think there's any other team right now in the ACC that Syracuse is – I know that there's not that Syracuse has faced that is anywhere near Georgia Tech. Clemson may be the third team ranked in the country, but Clemson is nowhere near Georgia Tech at running the ball. Wide receiver-wise, something else that you address – well, I'll take a break here because I know you want to get a word in here, Jason, so I'll let you jump in here. In what I just said, Georgia Tech – a lot better than Clemson, despite not being ranked in the top 25 when it comes to the run.
Yeah, I mean, they're so proficient at it and so good at it. And the amount of players they have that can run, I mean, 14 people, that's fresh legs. And our defense is already injured and worn out. And our offense can't, you know, get a first down, so they're on the field half the game, you know, three-quarters of the game. So yeah, I mean they definitely run the ball better than any team we're going to play. There's no question in my mind. And as far as just my personal opinion about running the ball, offensively, I just think they need to just adopt the run the ball mantra and just go with it. If you get down by 7, if you get down by 10, stick to the run. Run Smith between the tackles because. The more that Terrell Hunt, well, it doesn't even matter, Hunt or Allen throw the ball, there's just going to be more turnovers. And that's not going to, I mean, that's not going to help. That's not going to make the game easier. The way for Syracuse to win football games this year with this team is to run the ball, take time off the clock, get, you know, make shorten the game, and give their defense some time to rest. You cannot go out there and keep going three and out, turn the ball over, block punt, turn the ball. I mean, they're exhausted. You know what I mean? So I understand when you get behind, the first thing you want to do is panic, especially when you're on the road. But 14-0 is not much when it's the first quarter. So they need to stick to what they do best, which is running Jerome Smith between the tackles and Tyson Gully and you know, and just go with that. And if you lose the game doing what you do best, so be it. That's, you know, you can live losing a, if somebody beats you when you're doing what you do best and they beat you at it, then you tip your cap and you go on to the next game. But throwing the ball, I don't know how many times they threw it today, but with this team, it's just not going to help them win games. It's just the Hunt's not ready. Allen, I don't really think is, you know, going to amount to much. And their wide receiver, like I said before, their wide receiver core is awful, just awful. They can't get off of press coverage. They can't catch the ball. They can't run good routes. They're never where they're supposed to be. So, I mean, you really just need to focus on running the football. And I know there's a lot of Syracuse fans out there like, what is this guy talking about? They don't throw it enough. Trust me, you do not want them throwing the ball more than they're running it.
That's something that has actually held up statistic-wise that you brought up, Jason, with having Terrell Hunt be very, very inconsistent when it comes to moving the ball in the passing attack. Like I said, Jekyll and Hyde, the opposite of what he was in non-conference play against Wagner and Tulane, as opposed to what he's done against Clemson and NC State, even in a victory, and, of course, against Georgia Tech. If you look at what Terrell Hunt's been able to put together through the air as a starting quarterback in the ACC, Terrell Hunt, through the two games leading into the loss to Georgia Tech, 18 completions on 40-plus attempts. 18 completions there. 33% completion against Clemson. And then you see what he did against Georgia Tech, just really not that strong there either. This is a team that between Terrell Hunt and Drew Allen, 13 of 29 through the air, attempted 29 passes, and they tried to run the ball 26 times altogether. So it's funny how I could talk about stats and they make sense, and then I could bring up stats and they lie, because Syracuse, you really don't think that they put it into the run, and it looks like a balanced attack right here, but it has to be heavy run. They have to get after it more. You see what they could do when they run it 40-plus times, so very shocked about that, in the fact that Syracuse went back on their run and went against their run when both of their quarterbacks achieved no better than 65-plus yards, 68 yards Terrell Hunt, 65 for Drew Allen. Not a lot getting done for them as far as what they were able to do through the air. Bringing up the wide receivers, I want to mention the fact that Rob Moore, who's someone I respect very much, wide receiver coach for Syracuse, had made mention to me recently, within the last couple weeks, that when Syracuse has struggled through the air, he said, listen, don't put the interceptions on Terrell Hunt. Put them on my squad. More often than not, we're not running the routes correctly. We're not doing our job. And I thought that that was big for him to say, for the wide receiver coach to call out his receivers and say, listen, you're not doing what you need to be doing. And they truly aren't. When you look at the fact that Drew Allen and Jeremiah Cobina were not together on the interception that was thrown in against Georgia Tech and the almost interception that was bobbled and dropped by Georgia Tech, that Jeremiah Cobina not where he needed to be with Drew Allen, but you just see that these guys, there isn't anyone that stands out. And I said it before coming into the season, there's a reason why Jared West was the third option behind Alec Lemon and Marcus Sales. And just because they're not here doesn't mean that he's going to be the number one. Number one by default, okay. But it doesn't mean that he's going to become Alec Lemon, become Marcus Sales, and it doesn't mean that he was going to improve at all. He catches two balls in this game, late in the game, when the Georgia Tech defense, most likely lagging off a little bit. Two receptions, 31 yards. Ashton Broyle catches three. Chris Clark catches three. Nobody gets more than 32 yards for the team. Kendall Moore, Jeremiah Cobina, Beckett Wales, Prince Tyson Gully, all catch a pass. They amount 133 yards. That's all they get receiving. They start to move the ball pretty well on one drive, but nothing gets done. The daunting statistic that I find very interesting, but when something's working, it's not so interesting when you really look at the game as a whole. I mentioned the 14 rushers for Georgia Tech. They threw the ball three times, three receivers, one reception each, Waller, Andrews, Bostic. They all caught a pass. Waller caught the 46-yard pass that opened up the second half, which was the first yardage that Georgia Tech had through the air the entire game. They catch it, and you look at that 46-yard completion. That's all Waller had. So it's very interesting. 394 yards on the ground, that's 100 more than they average for Georgia Tech. Syracuse's 75 is 200 less than they average per game. So it really was a tale of the running attack, who can stop it, and who is going to utilize it more. Georgia Tech way lopsided, but you can understand, 67 rushing attempts to three passing attempts says a lot about this team, and it says a lot to what Jason from Maryland is saying right now on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN, about Syracuse not committing to what they're good at. And like you say, if you're going to lose a game, lose it as who you are. If I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do an event and three people show up when I want 300, I'm going to do the event the way that I am, because one day 300 are going to show up and I want to treat them the same way I treated the three and vice versa. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down as Dan Totora. If Syracuse is going to lose a game, then they should have went down losing the game as the Syracuse Orange, and they did not do that in this game. And you talked about time of possession, Jason, and I thought that this is very interesting, because what I level on more often than not is it's not the time, it's how you use it. And obviously right. Syracuse didn't use it well, but in this case, in this game, the time of possession really does make a lot of sense because of the fact that there were 67 rushing attempts from Georgia Tech. That's how you ruin a team. That's how you make their defense get fatigued. That's how you take the win out of the sails of the offense. That's how you make a team get off their game when Terrell Hunt is sitting there anxious on the side of the field. Jerome Smith waiting. Prince Tyson Gully waiting. Jay Bromley going snap after snap after snap, and having all these guys continue to have to do this. You look at a guy like Josh Kirkland, who is a very capable linebacker, but you not only are asking him to start in place of Dyshon Davis, you're asking him to be on the field for two-thirds of the game compared to one-third for the Syracuse offense. That says a lot about Georgia Tech. They did exactly what Rob Drummond had said to me on Back on the Field here on WakeUpCallDT.com. He had made mention to me before the Georgia Tech game that Syracuse needed to run the ball in order to keep Georgia Tech off the field, because running, pounding the ball, establishes your identity. It establishes the fact that you're going to keep the offense off the field, and it gives your defense less opportunities to make a mistake. And Syracuse did the opposite of that. Georgia Tech listened to what Rob Drummond had to say. So it was very interesting there. And the, one of the things that was working great for Georgia Tech when running the ball was the option. And this is something that I brought up during the game. I had put a tweet out at CallDT, that's C-A-L-L-D-T, to follow me there. Put a tweet out on at CallDT where I said that Georgia Tech was McNabbing Syracuse, meaning the fact that the option was getting used and it was successful, but it was going against the team that used to use it so well in the 90s. And I thought that that was very interesting, that Syracuse has gone so far away from the option, including with the fact that they have a running quarterback and they're still not using it, and to see what the option did to them. And then you look forward with the rest of the schedule, and as Jason, you brought up, they have Florida State, which is a game that, you know, no offense to Syracuse fans, I'm an impartial sportscaster. I've covered Syracuse for years, but I've always been honest in my coverage of Syracuse, the Jaguars, the Jets, the NFL, the NBA, NCAA, you name it. I've been critical, I think, when I need to be, and constructively criticizing when I need to be, and also congratulatory when I need to be. And when I look at the rest of the schedule, Syracuse can beat Wake Forest. They're going to be home. They've defeated them before recently. I think they have their number. They can win against a Maryland team at Maryland. I believe that they could get that game. I think it'll be close. I said it before that Maryland is the middle of the road of the ACC, and I know they're leaving to the Big Ten, but right now they're in the ACC, and they're the middle of the road. You beat them, then you're better than the bottom half. I think that's a big game for Syracuse. I think Florida State is a definite loss. I think Syracuse between Pittsburgh and Boston College can take one of those games. So I essentially see two wins that I'm definitely thinking, with the potential for a third. If they get that third, then they're bowl eligible and they're going to the postseason, and that's a win for Syracuse being in a very tough conference. But what I want to say to Syracuse fans is that when you go from the Big East to the ACC, you're going from being 7-5, and that's okay, 6-6, and that's okay. These are teams that don't have undefeated schedules more often than not. Yes, Cincinnati has their moments and Louisville has their moments, but when you come out of the Big East and you go to the ACC, it's like going from elementary Spanish to conversational Spanish in college. You're going from learning how to say yo soy to having to go to Spain and speak only Spanish and not use any English at all. It's like getting dropped in the middle of Madrid as opposed to getting a cracker for every time you use the right tense when you're speaking in your class for Spanish class. Big difference, Big East to the ACC. And don't get me wrong, I have the utmost respect for what the Big East has done in the past, but I am not going to lie to anybody, okay? And what I'm going to say is Syracuse in the Big East, when they left, they were getting an oyster cracker for every correct answer. It was a different world. In the ACC, when you do something right, you get slapped in the face. There's no congratulatory. There's no good job. There's no cracker. There's no cookie. If you want to make it in the ACC, Syracuse has to go through Clemson and FSU just to get to the ACC championship game and then go from there. It's a lot different from having to go through South Florida and UConn. And those are my thoughts from what you had to say, Jason, going off of each of the points that you had made, which were fair points and good points that brought up a lot of discussion. So that's how I complete my thought for that moment, Jason, is with an oyster cracker.
Oh, Dan, you're funny, buddy.
So moving on here with Syracuse, is there any other notes that you have that you're taking from the season as a whole? Is there anybody, I guess the better way to ask you this, Jason, is to look at the season so far, and every single week on the CUSE page, which stands for Constant Updates and Special Exclusives, it's an acronym, Constant Updates, Special Exclusives, the CUSE page on wakeupcalldt.com is where every single week in the rotator at the top of the page. So for those people that tell me I didn't name an offensive, defensive, and special teams, just wait for the rotator to rotate. But every single week, there is an offensive, defensive, and special teams player of the week that I choose for Syracuse from their first game against Penn State all the way to what I will be choosing, and you'll have to go to the CUSE page to find out who that is on wakeupcalldt.com against Georgia Tech, because win, loss, or draw, I'm going to choose that team, and they can't draw in college football, so that's helpful. But I want to ask you this, Jason. Looking at the season so far, knowing that I do my players of the week, do you have a player of the season so far for offense, defense, and special teams? I'm interested to hear, in the three phases of the game, who you think is really doing the best for Syracuse, despite the fact that they're below 500.
Well, offensively, man, that's tough, because you want to give it to the running backs, but you know, they wouldn't be anything without their offensive line. So I would say the most valuable player is actually a unit, which would be the offensive line, opening up holes for Jerome Smith and Prince Tyson Gully. You know, I think that's a strength of the team. Defensively, I think, once again, it's a kind of a group of players, the linebackers for this team. Actually, nah, let me take that back. Jay Bromley has really played exceptional this year. I would say he would be the MVP in my defense. Special teams. Oh, man. That is a tough one. I'd have to think about that. I guess, I mean, George Morris or Cabina, I mean, a returner, I have no idea. I mean, they're not that good of a special teams, or their special teams are not that great. So I guess I would take, you know, or maybe Desir, he's decent. It's hard to pick on special teams. I probably would have taken Krautman if he wasn't injured, but he is, so those would be, I guess, I would have to get back to you on the special teams, which is a really crappy answer, but the other two, I'd say offensive line and Jay Bromley.
Well, Jason, what I have to say to you is you get two oyster crackers for answering your questions, but I can't give you the third because you're making me wait.
Well, at least I get two. It's better than one, right?
Hey, you know what? Oyster crackers inside of New England clam chowder soup, it's good stuff since I was a kid, so I don't think anybody should turn them down. I'll give you my, because I asked you, it's only fair that I give it back. Offensive, defensive, special teams, players of the season through seven games so far for Syracuse. I'm doing this totally impromptu with my honest answer. Well, my answers are always honest, but completely impromptu here. I'm thinking about it right now. And I'm going to say offensively for Syracuse, I would have to give, you gave it to the unit of the offensive line, and I commend you for that, because good, bad, or indifferent, for Terrell Hunt and Drew Allen, they've been protecting them. And at the same time, you can't have rushing games of 300-plus yards in a team that had over 1,300 yards through six games, and a running back in Prince Tyson Gully who had more than 14 yards a carry against NC State. None of that happens without your offensive line. So I commend you for that. Totally agree with you for that. But for the sake of giving a different perspective, a different answer, I'm going to give my offensive player of the team so far for Syracuse, player of the season through seven games, to Jerome Smith. And I give it to Jerome Smith because this is a guy who found the end zone three times last season. He had already gotten there within the first few games this season, and eight touchdowns and over 400 yards, close to 500 yards going into the game against Georgia Tech. So I give a lot of respect to Jerome Smith, who's now over 500 yards. He has five games to go to get to 1,000, and I believe that he could do that. I believe he could get close to 100 yards. I think that there's going to be some teams that are going to affect that, like Florida State, but I could see him having a good game against Wake Forest. I could see him having a good game against Pittsburgh, Boston College, potentially Maryland. So Jerome Smith is going to get it for me because he's found the end zone more. This is a guy that if you put him close to the goal line, it's just like chump change for him. It's practice for him. And it's something that, and that's why Allen Iverson should have known how important practice was. But for Jerome Smith, it really is. And I talked to him about this because Jerome and I have a really good relationship. We talk a lot. And I said to him, I said, you know, Jerome, when it comes to getting on the 1 yard line, I've never seen you play like this before, that you just take it in. It's that first play, first down, it's a touchdown. It's like nothing to him. It's, I don't want to waste that much time. Just give me the ball. I'll get it in. We'll move on from here. We get 7 more points. Let's keep the team rolling. And I think his confidence is a big part of that. I think his belief in his game. I think the fact that he's even more powerful. I think his speed has increased. I think he can increase that a little bit more if I have to critique him for something. I think he protects the ball very well. He doesn't fumble. So I give Jerome Smith a lot of credit for this season because a 1,000-yard rusher has gotten even better in my mind. Defensive player of the year so far through 7 games, I was going to give it to Jay Bromley. The man comes into the game against Georgia Tech with 6 sacks. Guy's crazy. He is someone who's been able to get through to Taj Boyd and rush him out of the pocket. And I think what's not said a lot is what Jay Bromley does that doesn't show up in stats, that he hurries quarterbacks so many times, that he's a big reason why quarterbacks are having to scamper out of the pocket. And if he doesn't get the tackle for a loss, if he doesn't get the sack, you don't see it. But if you watch the game, you see it. And Jay Bromley is one of those guys that's really stepped up, and he's someone on the defense that you really can't critique that much because he works his butt off. And I give him a lot of credit for that. Tim Doust, who I consider to be a friend of mine, somebody who I respect, defensive line coach for Syracuse, has made the statement that coming from Jamaica, Queens, Jay Bromley has come a long way. And I definitely agree with that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But just as I did with offensive player of the year so far, I'm going to pick someone else to give a different point of view. And the guy I'm going to give that to is a guy that I was talking about last fall about how good I thought he was, is Darrell Eskridge, the free safety for Syracuse, who came into this game, 2 tackles for a loss, got involved in a sack, had 2 interceptions, had a breakup, had a quarterback hit, had 41 total tackles to lead the team. Darrell Eskridge, to me, from being a guy used in the rotation that was maybe in there 3 times a game, to someone who's now a starter, I have the utmost respect for the hard work of Darrell Eskridge. I think that when you look from 1 year to the next, this guy has got to be in there in the running for most improved player on Syracuse of all 3 phases. I saw a lot from Darrell in practice. He's turned it over into games, and he does. He has a knack for the ball. He gets after it. He's involved in the passing game. He's involved in the running game, and he's a guy who's willing to go after you no matter how banged up he is. He's someone that truly is a fighter, and I don't think his stats, just like Jay Bromley, speak enough for him. I think that this is a steal that Syracuse has, and I think that one of the benefits of having a guy like Shamarco Thomas move on to the NFL is the fact that a guy like Darrell Eskridge can really shine. And it speaks volumes of how good of a player Shamarco was. And Darrell, I think, is now causing people to look at him on the team and say, wow, I got to get to where Darrell's at. And I don't think he's anywhere near where he could be. So I like his upside as well. Special teams, as far as who I look at for Syracuse here, I'm going to give it to somebody who is a newcomer because he did more with 2 punt returns against Georgia Tech, if we're going to take positives from that game, than Richie Desir has done, than Steve Rene has done, and that's Brizzly Esteem, the H-back. I like him. He's a true freshman. And the first punt return that he had in his career was against Georgia Tech. Having that punt return, yeah, there was an illegal block in the back, but he had a good run. And he made another good run that he almost broke for a touchdown. So I'm going to give it to Brizzly Esteem because I think his upside is there as well. And he just makes so many good decisions. He's the reason why I said Jeremiah Cobina should be back there, because you need a guy who could take their first step as if they've been running for 20 yards, who can make really quick decisions and who is extremely elusive. And Brizzly Esteem and Ashton Broiled fit the H-back position because they're the most elusive guys that you're going to find out there, even more so than Jeremiah Cobina. So I'm going to give it to Brizzly Esteem because I like the coaching decision to put him back there to accept punt returns, and I like what he did with it. And even though there was two from those two punt returns against a team that was shutting down Syracuse in every single phase, he was one of the only bright spots for Syracuse. So I'm going to give it to Brizzly Esteem because in their biggest lopsided loss of the season, he did good things, and he did the right thing. So I'll give it to Brizzly Esteem so far through this season because I like what he's done in the open field as well. Even against teams like Northwestern, when Syracuse is losing and fans are struggling to find bright spots and scrapping at something, Brizzly Esteem is usually the guy you can count on. And when you can count on a guy in a losing situation, that's a good player to watch for. So those are the guys that I'm going to be choosing. And before I let you go, Jason, any last comments that you have here for Syracuse football?
I was going to say, when you brought up Brizzly Esteem, one thing that I like about him is his quickness, and I really think they need to make it more of a concerted effort to get him involved in the offense, because the guys they have out there now at receiver are not giving them anything. I mean, Jared West had two catches. It was late in the game. Cobina didn't do anything. Was he hurt or something?
Cobina, not that I know of. I mean, from what I saw from Jeremiah Cobina, he just didn't have his route down or the timing down with Drew Allen, because he was there late in the game. He just wasn't catching the ball at the right time.
Yeah, they've got to get playmakers on the field. I mean, just to be able to kind of stress the defense, make them think about Broiled and Esteem, have them both on the field at the same time. I think you need to get Esteem on the field as much as possible going forward. And as far as, you know, the overall view of the squad, this loss sucked. You know, it brought back memories of Greg Robinson and all that, but this is not a Greg Robinson team. They will come back. They will fight. They'll be ready to play in 2 weeks when Wake Forest comes to the Dome. And I just want all the Syracuse fans out there to know, you know, don't give up on the team. You know, it's one bad game. They lost by 56 points. It doesn't matter if it's 56 or 1. It's a loss. You know, they'll be ready to play in 2 weeks, and I hope that the people that are able will go out and support the guys, because I know they're working hard, and I really believe this is a season where you're going to look back and say, okay, this was the beginning, because, you know, it's their first year in the ACC, and I really believe that they can still, you know, they're capable of making a bowl game, and at the end of the day, that's what this is about. So I would caution anyone, you know, that's really down on the team to you know, pick your chin up a little bit and think about the prospect of, you know, you move from, like you said, it's night and day between the Big East and the ACC, and you're playing Clemson, you're playing Florida State, Georgia Tech. These are tough teams, and so it's not going to be easy. But once we get the recruits in here, and we've recruited some solid receivers, so next year I think we'll have some, you know, freshmen playing. It's going to be we're going to be fine. It's just 1 year, and one game. And I really believe that at the end of the year will be a bowl team. So, you know, just keep your head up. And, you know, also basketball starts soon, too. And you know how we do in basketball. So
it's just very interesting. Syracuse picked to finish second to last in their division when it comes to the Atlantic Division of the ACC for football. And preseason-wise, Syracuse selected for men's basketball to finish second overall behind Duke, and they got 3 first-place votes. Duke got 50. North Carolina got 1. So Syracuse, Pitt, and Notre Dame all getting respected to be in the top 10 when all is said and done when it comes to the ACC, and even closer than that. Notre Dame picked pretty high. Pittsburgh, I believe, in the top 5. But Syracuse picked to finish second. So that says a lot. 15 different schools in competition for football and basketball this season, and then when Maryland bounces out, you'll see the Louisville move to come in, and that's going to make things even tougher in both football and basketball. And what I took away from what you said, Jason, Brizzly Esteem, Ashton Broyle, your two H-backs, your speed guys who could get it done, and whenever they catch the ball, that's the fun part to watch. Once the ball is caught,
right,
then it's what are they going to do with it? Because they always do something with it. They always figure out a way to gain yards. They're very, very elusive. And I think on a team who should be running the ball heavily, when they do decide to pass it, maybe they take a page out of Georgia Tech's notebook to say, we're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And then when we pass the ball, let's pass to the guys who run the ball well after they catch it. I would like to see Brizzly Esteem and Ashton Broyled on opposite sides of the field, lined up as wide receivers, and making this team very, very interesting. Why not try it out? Because if you got Ashton on one side, Brizzly on the other, somebody's going to get open. When you have Jared West on one side and Chris Clark on the other, it's not guaranteed. Jeremiah Cobina, it's not guaranteed. The tight end position, it's not guaranteed. If you want to move the ball, do it with what works. Brizzly Esteem, Ashton Broyled, Prince Tyson Gully, Jerome Smith. And the other thing that I want to make note of, Terrell Hunt, this is my word to him, don't be afraid. You are going to make mistakes. You're going to have tough games. You're not going to score on every opening drive. It's not always all going to go in your favor. So my thing to Terrell Hunt is, you appear to be scared when you're playing. When he played Clemson, he looked terrified. When he played against Georgia Tech, he played terrified. My thing to Terrell Hunt is this. Yes, it's higher competition, but guess what? You don't know any other competition. You weren't Ryan Nassib. You didn't play in the Big East, so you don't know anything except for the ACC and the couple teams that you played outside of that. This is your conference. You have to play to this level. I like Terrell Hunt when Terrell Hunt plays like Terrell Hunt. I like his dual threat ability. I think that the option needs to be utilized. Terrell Hunt, to me, is his biggest enemy right now because I don't think he believes he can beat these teams, and I think that's the way he's playing. And so if he could start to believe that he can win, that's the only way you're going to get the team to move forward. Drew Allen played in short passes. He looked scared. Terrell Hunt came out against Clemson and threw short passes and only tried once down the field in four quarters. He looked scared. You have to play a team like you're fearless. It doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It doesn't mean that deep down inside you don't think, wow, this team is really, really good. All it means is you never let the other team know that you feel that way. And I think that that goes a long way if they could change their mentality when they're out there, especially Terrell Hunt. I think you'll see a different Syracuse team moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I think his thing right now is I think he's overwhelmed by the level of talent that he's playing against. But what I would tell him is it's not going to get harder than this. It's going to get easier from here on out because you're going to see a lot of the same defenses. You're going to start to adjust to the speed of the game. You know, and one other thing I wanted to mention before I got off of the line was, like you mentioned, if you put Esteem and Broyled, split them out opposite sides of the field, and you pound the ball, Jerome Smith is going to get his yards. And honestly, I think he's going to get you first downs, and I think that's the way this offense is going to run. Somebody's going to, you know, if you're running the ball well, what's a team going to do? They're going to bring up a safety in the box, right? Then you've got one safety, single high safety, against two of the most elusive receivers that we have, in my opinion, our best receivers. I think when Ashton Broyled gets focused and starts catching the ball more consistently, he's going to be a nightmare to deal with. And like you said, Esteem's already like a PlayStation player, like spinning around, cutting back, doing all kinds of stuff on those punt returns. I mean, so I do think there is some type of future in throwing the ball, but you have to do it off of running the ball. And I think if they do that, they can take advantage of the skill set of some of these players that they have. But they've really got to stay focused on doing what they do best. And you and I both know, Dan, that is definitely pounding the ball. So hopefully in 2 weeks we'll see Jerome come out, do his thing, PTG do his thing, and get back on the winning track and start maybe get a streak. I mean, who knows? I think we have Maryland after that, or maybe we have Florida State. I don't know, but win three or four or something and get a bowl game, and you know, we'll all be happy.
Yes, it is. Syracuse will play Wake Forest at home. They'll play at Maryland in your neck of the woods, and then they will play at Florida State before coming back home to face Pittsburgh and end the season with longtime rival returning. But they already played this coach last year late in the season to end their season when he was the Temple coach, Steve Adazio, with Boston College, and that game will also be home for Syracuse. So that is all coming up for the Syracuse Orange as they continue this season and see what they can get going from here on out. As always, a pleasure to have Jason from Maryland on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326 for those of you looking for letters on your phone and not understanding why they're not there. So, 315-503-1326. I had to do that once. I appreciate it, as always, to have Jason here on the line with me to talk Syracuse and to talk in general on the fan line. So, Jason, you know I appreciate it. So thank you so much, and continue to do a good job with that Colts authority. I really appreciate your hard work there as well.
Thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate it.
Anytime, and we will be right back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com. After hearing from Carvel DeWitt and Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, it'll be right on to the annoying moment of the week, something that truly bothers me that doesn't make any sense. We're sticking with football for the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. And coming up later on in the show, one-on-one with John Swofford, ACC commissioner, and then one-on-one, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse Orange, and the number two winningest coach in the history of NCAA men's basketball on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves in how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carrion Daily Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at carryanddailypt.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop shop for all things sports. I appreciate you tuning in. Before the break, had the fan line open. Jason Spears from Maryland, longtime listener of the show, and also working for Colts Authority. Check them out, ColtsAuthority.com. If you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, an NFL fan, or really looking at that AFC South between the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans, whatever it may be, check out Jason's work on Colts Authority. I appreciate him being a longtime listener for years, calling into the show, talking everything about the Syracuse Orange coming off their 56-0 loss to the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, the third time they've ever played. They have not won a game against Georgia Tech in their history. And this game, the most lopsided loss that Syracuse has ever had to Georgia Tech, and the first loss to Georgia Tech in the ACC, dropping Syracuse to 1-2 in their new conference and 3-4 overall so far throughout their season, with 5 games to go and 3 that they need to win to become bowl eligible. And make sure that you keep in touch with that and keep in touch with all my coverage of Cuse. And you can do that very simply by going to the Cuse page of wakeupcalldt.com. CUSE, an acronym standing for Constant Updates, Special Exclusives. You can get audio, video, and the written word when it comes to my coverage of the Syracuse Orange, including their football program, very simply by going to that CUSE page of wakeupcalldt.com. And pictures also on their way from Syracuse for Syracuse basketball, which we'll be talking about very soon here. Took a few pictures at Syracuse Media Day, and you'll be hearing from Jim Boeheim later on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. Nothing that you've seen. This is my one-on-one with Coach Boeheim that you'll be able to get only here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com. And you'll also hear from ACC Commissioner in a one-on-one. That is John Swofford, and he will be on the show shortly right here in this episode of Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. But before that, I promised you this. No, it's not an awkward blind date with the woman you just heard from. It's the annoying moment of the week. Proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, the only place that you could find the Wake Up Call Sunday. Chocolate, vanilla, or a twist soft serve, topped off with cookie dough pieces, caramel swirl, whipped cream, and a cherry. And now with less calories with Carvel Light, with the Wake Up Call Sunday on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, right at the end of Erie Boulevard. Carvel DeWitt is the only place to go. When it comes to ice cream cakes, it's synonymous with Carvel. You don't get an ice cream cake from anywhere else because it's just not the same. Nobody has the crunchies right in the center of the chocolate and the vanilla, with the frosting the way that it is and the gel that they have, and the way that they always figure out some way, somehow, to fit what you want to be written on the top of your cake. When it comes to getting the right quantity, the right quality, and the right price, Carvel DeWitt has been serving the community of Central New York and everybody that comes in to visit Central New York for over 60 years. As the longest standing franchise in Carvel history in the entire nation. Carvel DeWitt, led by Jay Cartini, is the place for you to go for your Sunday dashers, Carvalanches, and now when it comes to the Halloween season, for cakes that put the fun in frightening, including the pumpkin cake that you could get right now at Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street, in DeWitt, New York. You can get directions right here on wakeupcalldt.com on the leaderboard page, and they are open every single day, Sunday through Monday, or Monday through Sunday, however you work your week, until 9 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you get out to Carvel DeWitt and get that Halloween cake for a frightful good time. When it comes to having a little kid that you're going out for your first trick-or-treat, or you're sitting at home with the family passing out candy, or maybe you just have a Halloween birthday, or you have a birthday and you just happen to like witches or pumpkins or whatever your fancy is, when it comes to getting something that's got a great taste that they can tailor to you, your wants, and your needs to the best of their ability, Carvel DeWitt is the place to go. And just so you know, I will never tell you to go anywhere. If you haven't listened to the show before, know this now. I will never tell you to go somewhere that I don't use myself. I don't have anything written in front of me. I'm not coming up with any of this stuff off a sheet of paper. This is coming right from my brain, right from my experience, right from my heart. Carvel DeWitt is the place that I appreciate going to after having Carvel in my family throughout my entire life. For my grandfathers that have passed, my grandmother that passed, and my grandma Covino that's still alive, that's out there in this world at 96 years of age, and one of the things that she loves every single year and she asks for on her birthday as she's about to turn 97 is a Carvel ice cream cake. That's how ingrained Carvel is with my family, with anniversaries, birthdays, and all different types of parties and holiday events. And sometimes just because, when you have an opportunity to go out to Carvel, and my mom and dad used to take me for a traditional Carvel twist, and now I have the ability to have my own Sunday, the Wake Up Call Sunday at Carvel DeWitt. I can't thank them, Jay Cartini, and his staff enough for all that they've done and for providing the annoying moment of the week with Dan Satora Broadcast Media, which is coming up right here, right now. This is the moment for me to tell you what's bothering me. And that is simply this. At 0-6, the New York Giants have decided to continue to keep Eli Manning in the games right now. Now, hear me out. I know you're sitting there right now saying, Dan, he has 2 Super Bowl rings. He knows what he's doing. He's one of the only quarterbacks to know how to take down the Patriots, especially in the playoffs. Did it twice for those 2 Super Bowl rings. This is a guy who is a Manning. It's in his blood to win games. But I'm in the here and now. The team's 0-6. And the reason why this is the annoying moment of the week to me is because there's other quarterbacks around the league that are doing a better job that have lost their job. Matt Schaub of the Houston Texans, there's never been a quarterback on the Houston Texans that has been even close to being good. And yes, I'll say that David Carr really never had a chance to because he was sacked so many times with a line that never really knew how to play together. But Matt Schaub, no matter what anybody has to say about the Texans, you have to admit the fact that when you look back in their history, numbers-wise, he's the best quarterback they've ever had since coming into the league in 2002. Now, I understand that against San Diego and Tennessee, he wins games, and I've said it before that these aren't the best teams in the league, and that he lost to the good teams of Baltimore, Seattle, and San Francisco. St. Louis, a mediocre team, and lost to them handily. I understand that he didn't throw a touchdown against St. Louis, but he was also injured in that game. So, and then in the game against San Francisco, a team that's been Jekyll and Hyde, that's scored a lot of points one week and then scored almost nothing the next, that he didn't have a touchdown against San Francisco and threw 3 picks. Or that he's thrown an interception in every single game he's played in outside of the St. Louis game. So I understand that people are going to get on him about that, but here's the thing. He's thrown 8 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Eli Manning has thrown 15 interceptions in 6 weeks. That's over 2 interceptions per week. The man is on pace to throw 32 interceptions over 16 games. The record set by George Blanda's 42. Eli Manning, right now, when you look at his numbers, 6 interceptions worse than Matt Schaub, and at least Matt has helped the team win. And it's not all Matt Schaub's fault. When they defeated the San Diego Chargers and the Tennessee Titans, the Texans' defense allowed 28 points, so Matt Schaub had to get the team to 31. And against Tennessee, they allowed 24 points, having to go to overtime to win that game. So I'm not putting it all on Matt Schaub, and I'm not putting it all on Eli Manning. But what I will say is simply this. If you're going to sit Matt Schaub, and you're going to sit, in another story that stuns me even more, Christian Ponder of the Minnesota Vikings, Minnesota has made the decision after getting Josh Freeman very recently. Josh is getting to know the team, recently added to the team. All he's done is practice with the team. You start Matt Cassel when Christian Ponder goes out with an injury. You play Matt Cassel again, and now you're going to Josh Freeman, who has been said to have been a problem on the team, to not be the best thing for the team's psyche, for their mentality when he was with Tampa Bay. So you bring in a guy that knows your offense and knows your team less than anybody else, and you put your starter, who's getting better, on the bench. You put his backup on the bench to start Josh Freeman on Monday Night Football. Now, granted, they're doing it against the Giants, so that makes sense because it's a nice little tester. It's kind of like a little preseason game for them. But if Christian Ponder and Matt Schaub, who, mind you, Matt Schaub in his current offense, Andre Johnson, Keyshawn Martin, Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Brandon Brooks, Derek Newton, Greg Jones, Arian Foster, Ben Tate, I named all of those players, and out of every single player I named, the only one that I did not name is a tight end position with Garrett Graham. Every other position on the offense, wide receiver, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, fullback, and running back, are all injured players. All guys that are coming back from injuries. Now, they're all probable, but all guys that are nursing injuries right now. Important enough to report, because like I said, every football player plays every week injured to some extent. But these injuries, marked down. Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, quite notably the best players in the history of the Houston Texans, pretty safe to say, injured in some way, shape, or form. So I'm not putting this all on Matt Schaub. Eli Manning has had injuries to his team. Eli Manning has had to deal with a line that's been injured. I get that. But my issue is the fact that the Houston Texans, right now with Matt Schaub, are 2-4. Yeah, they've lost some games bad, but the team is 2-4 currently to the New York Giants, who are 0-6. And the Minnesota Vikings have their starter go out to an injury and keep him on the bench, and they're 1-4. So you can understand this, but not all those losses are the fault of Christian Ponder. They're also the fault of Matt Castle. And Adrian Peterson, God be with him, is dealing with a terrible loss in his family. So not having the best game after you find out that your two-year-old son has died after allegedly being abused, you can understand having a rough game, a rough go out there on the field. So my annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt and 4322 East Genesee Street, the home of the Wake Up Call Sunday, open until 9 p.m. Eastern every single night of the week. My annoying moment of the week is the fact that Eli Manning is still out there. If other teams are deciding to change, the Houston Texans are never out of it, because the Jaguars right now aren't competing that much. The Titans, somewhat. The Indianapolis Colts are really the team that you have to beat. And the Houston Texans are coming off getting able to get in the playoffs, to finally push themselves. They were their worst enemy. And I said a few seasons back that all they needed was two seasons and they'd be in the playoffs, and they did that. And then they went back to the playoffs. So I understand the Matt Schaub struggles, but this is the first season that they've really struggled with him on the field. Normally, they lose games and they struggle when he's injured. That's their MO. When Matt Schaub is out, it's a different team. Now, for some reason, with Matt Schaub in, it's a different team. But I look at the New York Giants and I say, okay, you got Hakeem Nicks, you had him before. You had Victor Cruz before. You had a good amount of your line before. But their running game is affected because they got rid of Ahmad Bradshaw. They brought back Brandon Jacobs, who knows what he's doing. And that says a lot about the Giants in not a good way. When Brandon Jacobs could be waiting for a phone call to get a job, and he gets two touchdowns and he plays better than anybody else on the New York Giants in the entire 6 weeks after not playing football. So here's my thing. If you're the New York Giants, you're not going to the playoffs. It's not going to happen, most likely. I don't see them going 10-6 from here. So why not give somebody a chance? If a guy like Matt Schaub is coming out and young talent like Christian Ponder is coming out, I understand that Eli Manning's had two Super Bowl rings, but the team is 0-6. Why not just try something different? That's what Minnesota's doing against you on Monday Night Football, so why not do the same thing? Try something different. I want to know, and I welcome people to get in touch with me, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt. And on Twitter, @CallDT, that's CallDT, what your thoughts are. Because this is annoying to me in the simple fact that Eli Manning, of all the quarterbacks I've named, has been the worst this season. Not all time, this season, has been the worst quarterback. Even worse than Blaine Gabbert. More worse than what you've seen from Blaine Gabbert, because Blaine Gabbert doesn't have 15 interceptions in 6 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Neither does Chad Henne. And you look at the Cleveland Browns with Brian Hoyer and Brandon Whedon, they don't have that many interceptions. So if I'm going to take anybody out, it's going to be Eli Manning. And I know he has two Super Bowl rings, but we're talking about this season, we're talking about right now. And I'm not talking about forever. I'm just saying I'd like to see what Ryan Nassib can do, and I'd like to see what the other guys could do on the New York Giants, and I want to know what you think. That's my annoying moment of the week. Proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street. Eli Manning, I'm saying it's time to sit down, even just for a week. Because you know what? When you're 0-6 and nothing's going right, it may help for him to sit on the bench, watch the game from the sidelines, see what's going on, and then at the same time, the second part of that is to say, you know what? I won 2 Super Bowl rings. I got a nice contract, but nothing's guaranteed, and it can be taken away from me at any time. So this could be good to open up Eli Manning's eyes and kickstart him again, and it could be good to show him what's going on the field because he's obviously not seeing it when he's there. Eli Manning, I believe, should be sitting down, and I'm surprised that other quarterbacks are sitting before him. Moving on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Coming up right after the break, I will be talking with John Swofford, ACC commissioner. I had an opportunity to speak with him recently at ACC Operation Basketball. We didn't just talk about basketball. We talked about the ACC in general. We talked about the history of John Swofford, and we also discussed Notre Dame and got his thoughts on accepting a team that didn't want to come in full, and if he tried to push Notre Dame to finally give up that independence. We'll talk about all of that, football, basketball, so much more, including the history of John Swofford and what makes him love the ACC so much. He's back with me after the break, exclusively right here. You won't find this interview or information anywhere else the way that you're about to hear it. On Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Right after these words from Carvel DeWitt in Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop shop for all your sports information. And the beauty of it all is that it's free. Whether it's the Syracuse, Orange, Jacksonville, Jaguars, NFL, NBA, NCAA, NJCAA, whatever it may be, from softball to basketball, from field hockey to football, you can come right here to WakeUpCallDT.com and get what you need in a very, very easy way, free. All you have to do in order to get the exclusive content is to simply sign up. You can do it right on the homepage where it says become a member free. You click on member free, and it is simply that easy. You click on it, fill out a little profile, and there you are. You're in. You don't have to pay to get onto the site. All you have to do is register as a member, and you can get information at any given time on various areas of the sports world that I cover. I thank everyone who has become a member so far, and I implore you to do so that you won't miss out on anything, including game coverage and so many different things that go on with the 24/7 Talk Forum and the Right Now page. 24/7 Talk Forum, your opportunity to talk with me at any given time in a chat room basis type of thing, and also get exclusive information there, including what happens with Scott Schaefer every time, every week on the teleconference, what he had to say, as well as recruiting information and keeping up with games as they happen, as well as just opening questions up for you and getting your take on certain things that are going on in the sports world, opening that up to you just as I do on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter @CallDT. That's CALLDT. They're all free, so join them now if you haven't done so. Like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. You could do that on wakeupcalldt.com by going to the fan corner page, and all you have to do is click like and click follow without having to go to Facebook and Twitter individually, and on the homepage of wakeupcalldt.com to make sure that you become a member for free to get that recruiting information and other things that come up as they happen, including games, giving my updates as I'm watching, as I'm on premises. You don't want to miss out on that. So become a member of Wake Up Call DT and get all that information for free. As promised, coming up right now, the man that I had the opportunity to talk with after waiting patiently to be able to have this moment, and that is ACC Commissioner John Swofford. The opportunity to talk with him on so many different topics that I feel are important to you and are definitely important to me, and I think you would definitely appreciate hearing, hence why I asked the questions. So here they are in my conversation one-on-one exclusively with John Swofford, beginning with if he had to give himself a grade as a commissioner, what that grade would be.
Well, I don't grade myself, at least not to anyone else. I might grade myself privately to myself, but I do feel very good about the vision that this league has had, you know, and that's a credit to our presidents and athletic directors, and the courage to bring that vision to reality. And you know, in order to put this conference where it should be, needed to be, it took that kind of vision, and it took some courage for people to step up to the plate, make the decisions that needed to be made, and put this conference in the position that it's now in, which is, you know, is one of the five power conferences with a great future in front of it and totally solidified. And so really pleased to be there, but that takes the work of a lot of people.
Where does the passion lie for you in the ACC? Where did it really come up, and how has it evolved over time for you to really care about what you're doing?
Well, I grew up with it. I grew up in Western North Carolina, and when I was, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I had a brother playing football at Duke on two Orange Bowl teams. So I grew up watching him play and in the ACC, and that's really where it all started, and then ended up playing football in the conference at North Carolina, and spent a year at Ohio University in their master's degree program in sports administration, and then my first job was at the University of Virginia in the ACC, and then in Chapel Hill as an assistant AD, and then 17 years there as the AD, and now 17 years here in the commissioner's office. And so my entire career has been in the Atlantic Coast Conference, plus I grew up loving the Atlantic Coast Conference. So that passion for this league started at a very young age and has been continuous, you know, through my entire time. So I guess not too many people can say that in terms of their job or being in one conference all that time, but you never really seriously considered when I was being recruited going anywhere other than within the ACC. Had some opportunities to go elsewhere, but just always wanted to be at an ACC school. So.
Is it where you want to be? I know that you had mentioned earlier that a 16th member would cause a lot of headaches, you know, be something that maybe a problem you didn't want to have. Are you where you want to be right now once Maryland is out and Notre Dame is what they are outside of football? Are you going to be happy with where things are?
I think we'll be tremendously happy. You know, Louisville will walk right in to replace Maryland, and that's an outstanding addition to the Atlantic Coast Conference. With the quality of their program, and I think our arrangement with Notre Dame is a real plus, and you know, a better arrangement than Notre Dame's ever entered into previously because of the five football games that they will play every year against ACC opposition. They're So our schools, I believe, from the conversations we've had, are just extremely pleased with the 15 that we will be next year when Louisville joins us. And my guess is that we would stay with that grouping and that size for a significant period of time.
With Notre Dame having that ability to be independent in football, when you were looking over welcoming them in and having them as somewhat of a conference member, was it difficult for you to not force a push toward bringing in football as well from Notre Dame?
Well, we talked about that, and Notre Dame certainly knew we would. That's what we would prefer. But, you know, it's kind of a situation where it ended up being something good for Notre Dame and something good for the Atlantic Coast Conference, because the association, we wanted to be associated with each other because the values are the same, the academic qualities are the same. They're good. Notre Dame is good in a lot of Olympic sports that a lot of teams in the ACC are good at. Institutionally, they fit with our mix of public-private institutions. All of that was very, very important to Notre Dame. When they get out of the Midwest, I mean, the East Coast is important to Notre Dame from yeah. a branding and marketing standpoint and institutionally. And they enhance being a part of our football with those five games enhances our television package from a pure business standpoint. It's great for our fans because, you know, love them or hate them, Notre Dame is Notre Dame, and they're going to come see Notre Dame play. So it has a unique tradition and history, and their values fit our collective values. So it's a good marriage, and we had to have the five games to make it work, and they were willing to do that. And they also agreed that during the next 15 years, if Notre Dame joins a conference in football, it will be the Atlantic Coast Conference. Now, you know, I would qualify that by saying I do not anticipate that to happen because Notre Dame embraces its football independence. But if the world would change in some way that they felt it was better, then they'll come to the ACC in football as well. So I think it's an excellent marriage.
We've talked about the world changing a little bit in the sense of bringing up another division, finding something with it. You've stated the fact that whatever happens, the NCAA has to evolve and make some changes. What would you say of everything that would be on your mind or sitting with other commissioners, can you see making the most sense in the short term that maybe this is where it goes? You know, is there a certain place that you think maybe this would be the easiest of transition for now?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I do think we're not to a point of blowing up the NCAA and starting all over again or the five power conferences walking away at this point in time. I don't think that's where we are. I think we need to fix it under the existing umbrella, give the major conferences a little more autonomy to deal with some things that we need to deal with that really don't affect a lot of the rest of the membership, and not negatively affect the rest of the membership in terms of cutting their access to the basketball tournament or the Olympic sport championships, undermining their television revenue, which is so important to them, and really not undermining their brands, because that's important to them as well.
When you look at where you're heading and what you want to accomplish out of this conference, you had talked about the fact of you don't want to pay a student athlete, and I've had this conversation on my show before, to not directly pay them for playing a game, but to involve something maybe with their tuition because they are going to school full-time and playing full-time, which is two full-time jobs. How do you work out something like that that you think would make sense? Is it that little increase to the tuition saying, take this and do what you need to do with it because they don't have the time to get a job?
Well, I think it could be a stipend. I think it could be going to full cost of attendance with the scholarship. The devil's in the details with that type of thing, and you have to factor in the Pell grants that a lot of our athletes have and how does it affect that. I think we do need to enhance the plight of the student athlete, and
I think we just need to find the right way to do it, and I think it needs to be education-based. I don't think it needs to be something that's not education-based.
You've talked about education so much, and some people focus on the athlete side of it, but you've been so heavy on the student side of it as well. What is that born out of that you really have thought, hey, if it's going to be a hyphenated term, then we have to make sure they're being students and being athletes and not just on that one side, on the field or on the court?
Well, I think that's what distinguishes us from professional sports. This is college athletics, and I believe in the collegiate model. Now, I think we need to adjust what the collegiate model is. The Olympics adjusted their amateurism definition a number of years ago. I don't think we can sit around with our heads stuck in the sand and say, well, this is the way it's always been, so this is the way it has to be. I don't believe in that. I just think we need to enhance it in a way that has some tie to education, because this is intercollegiate athletics, and I think needs to remain so. And, when players are ready to go out and play professionally, then that's their decision to make.
Let me ask you on the basketball side of it, since we're here with ACC basketball, having that one-and-done rule with the NBA, that they've made that decision, mm-hmm. would you like to, as part of the NCAA, have a little bit more control over that and say, hey, the kids need to stay a little bit longer because you're so education-based? Would you like to see a change or maybe more give and take from the NCAA and the NBA?
I would like to see that. In an ideal world, what I would like to see is, in essence, the baseball rule or the football rule, which aren't exactly the same, but they kind of had the same result, which is if you want to go pro, you can't do this in the NFL, but you can in baseball. If you want to go pro out of high school, go pro. If that's your choice, that's what you want to do. But in baseball, if you go to college, then you're there for 3 years before they'll draft you again. I'd love to see that in basketball as well. I don't like the one and done. I almost feel like we're better off with, not having the one and done. If you're going to go pro, go pro.
Yeah.
And it all gets back to, my thoughts about collegiate athletics and education. And the argument on the other side is reasonable, and I understand that in terms of, if there's somebody at a great institution that, can go out and start their own company and make a lot of money, why should they have to necessarily stay there more than a year? And I understand that. I get that. But, I don't think the one and done overall is good for intercollegiate athletics. And I'd love to see the baseball 3-year rule. I also don't expect that to happen.
And lastly, with Syracuse coming in, when you get a coach like Jim Boeheim and everything that he brings with it, you have Mike Krzyzewski, you have the all-time winning leader, and then right behind him is Jim Boeheim, who did it in the Big East. Now that they're both together, how much of a win is that for you as commissioner and for this conference that you have the top two, they're both active, and they both don't seem like they're going anywhere anytime soon?
Oh, it's a huge, huge win-win. I mean, having Jim, I told him last night, I said, I hope you know how much I appreciate the fact that you're here in the ACC. And because I think he's just terrific. What he's done at Syracuse is remarkable. And to have him join Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams as coaches in the league that are already in the Hall of Fame. And then next year, Pitino will come in. We'll have four active Hall of Fame coaches at that point in one conference. And that's just off the charts. Kind of stuff. So, it's that's immeasurable, because I'm just really pleased that Jim is here. And, you heard some people say, well, he when they leave the Big East, he probably will go ahead and make his break then and not coach in the ACC. you know, after getting to know Jim a little bit, I've really enjoyed that and enjoy our conversations. And I'm just really glad he's a part of this league because he's a tremendous ambassador for college basketball. And the Big East was a great basketball conference without question. And now he's coming to another great basketball conference. Will be able to finish up his career having coached in the two best basketball conferences in the country during his time.
That once again was John Swofford, Atlantic Coast Conference Commissioner, who I finally had the opportunity to speak with one-on-one, and I thank him for answering on all those topics that I feel are truly important and good to know. And he brought up right there at the end the man that you'll be hearing from very, very soon here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, and that is none other than Syracuse Orange head coach. He's been on here more than once. I thank him for every time that he comes on and gives me an opportunity to talk with him one-on-one. Truly value it, just as I value every coach and every player that's given me a few minutes of their time. Coming up after the break, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse Orange men's basketball head coach, Hall of Famer, gold medalist, a man who has gone to the Final Four with a team of his in four separate decades, and the 2003 national champion coach. He'll be right here, only here, with this conversation on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com right after Carvel DeWitt and Carrion Daily Physical Therapy.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at carryanddailypt.com. That's Carey and DaleyPT.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Rounding out the last part of the show here for the day. And you don't want to miss out on everything else that is to come on WakeUpCallDT.com. And you can always get back to this show if you want to re-listen to John Swofford or to what's about to come up with Jim Boeheim. You can feel comfortable in knowing that it will be there for you on WakeUpCallDT.com. And it'll be there throughout the archive that is always saved on your Apple and Google Play Store app, SportsDT. Go ahead, if you have any type of Apple product, an iPhone, iPad, iPod, go to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. That'll take you directly to the site that'll download your free app for your Apple product. And if you have any product outside of Apple, any smartphone whatsoever that you can get apps on, simply go to the Google Play Store and search SportsDT, SportsDT, and you will get over 140 broadcasts. The top one will always be the most recent, and you never have to update it. You never have to do a thing, but just simply download it for free and click on it when you want to listen to a show. Every single new show will appear for you automatically once I post it. It'll be right there for you. and that will be the most recent on the top all the way back. So if you want to go back and you missed something from a few months back, you can listen back all the way past over 140 episodes and counting on that Sports DT app for your Apple products and for all smartphones, tablets, Kindle, iPad, iPod Touch, all of that. There's no way that you can't get the show. If you can get on the internet, you can get the show and you get it on your schedule. You're never going to miss it when you're driving, never going to lose the signal, never going to have to worry about making sure you're in the car at that time. I'm here for you whenever you need it. WakeUpCallDT.com and the Sports DT app make it all possible. And I want to thank God for helping making my life possible and helping me find a path that I can travel on to reach my dreams and do what I love and constantly be reminded every single day that no matter how bad it is, how tough it is, or what I think's not going right, that I'm doing what I love surrounded by my loved ones. And there is nothing better in the world than knowing that God is right there. And I feel that in the job that I do, that never feels like a job. And in the people that love me, I know I tell you all the time, but I love you. And I will show you that every day of my life. So thank you. And thank you to everyone that listens. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. It means so much to me. And I like to honor you. I like to show you my appreciation. And one of the ways that I do it, I think, is a very fun way to involve you on something that you're going to use anyways. And that's the tweet of the week. To take all of you on Twitter, the 440 plus that have connected with me, which to me is astronomical compared to where I started, and that's a huge thank you. I'll never be able to thank you enough, but let me at least do this for you, and that is the tweet of the week. Right here, right now, you only find it on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. It is now time for me to choose my favorite tweet from Twitter for this week. But I can't do it unless I have this. He rocks in the teardrop all day long. Happy mama, let's sing his song. After the band is on Jaber Street, that man's rhyming to go tweet, tweet, tweet. The tweet of the week goes to, and talk about having a quick turnaround here, Jason from Maryland, who is a longtime listener and was on the show earlier talking with me about Syracuse football. Right back around, he got on Twitter after being on the show, and this is the tweet of the week. He hasn't won in a while, so congratulations to Jason from Maryland, who wrote this. I want to thank my good friend and tagged me, Call DT, for having me on his show and providing free quality therapy for me after a 56-0 Cuse loss. Jason, I appreciate that. I chose you for tweet of the week because of the fact that, you know what, you brought it up, it is true. Where can you find these days free therapy? You got to pay for it. You have to pay for those sessions. There's a lot of money that goes into that for people to talk to you about your problems. So I'm happy that people trust me, like Jason, to call into the show Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and talk with me. And I'm happy that for the time that you're on, you feel like I've given you a spot on my couch to lay down, look up at the sky, and talk to me about your problems. And at the end of it all, hopefully you feel a little bit better, and your wallet never has to feel lighter. So thanks, Jason, for talking about free quality therapy, because that's something that I might just have to use as a tagline from here on out. And I'll give you credit for it. I won't copyright it, won't TM it. But Jason, I think you gave me a great idea. So thank you for that. You're the winner of the Tweet of the Week. And before we get out of here today for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, I find it only fitting to welcome back to the show a man who I always appreciate talking with, someone whose time I know doesn't always come easy, and you don't have many moments to sit and have these opportunities. That's why I value them so very much, that he's given me numerous opportunities to talk with him one-on-one, and I will always remember it and always appreciate it, just as I do with every coach and every player out there. I proudly bring you right here, exclusively here, on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora for free, my conversation with Jim Boeheim at Syracuse Media Day as he heads into the 2013-2014 season. Some people never thought he would get here, but he is coaching in the ACC. And first and foremost, I spoke with Jim Boeheim about Michael Benajay and what he can tell me, going a little bit deeper into the player that had to take a year off after transferring from Duke, and how important he thinks that redshirt year is in preparing Michael Benajay for what he can be moving on with the Syracuse Orange after having the opportunity to learn from the team.
Well, I think, you know, he's really in his third year in college. He's, you know, had the first year at Duke, had a really good redshirt year. He played hard, he worked hard, and now he's in his third year of college, which I think that's about the time you start to get where you're comfortable. He's played very well in practices. He gives us a guy that can play a couple of positions and a big presence at the guard spot. He's got good size.
When you have that versatility, which is obviously a necessity, you talked about how much faith and trust you have in Tyler Ennis, but stepping up with Trevor Cooney and then having Michael Benajay, who can play those positions, how important is that for you to get going this season to have those three guys?
Well, I think that's key. You know, we're a little young in the backcourt when you look at it. There are, you know, two freshmen back there and two sophomores, so that's the area where we need to really work hard in this practice period and get those guys up to speed, get them to understand what we need them to do.
By Keita, his progression throughout what he's been able to do to be the type of player that he is, just going to not only defensively but offensively, he's tried to be a presence for you.
Right. He's gotten better every year. He's better offensively. He's always been a good defensive player. I think his offense has improved. He's finishing better, but he's a hard worker, and he gives you a defensive presence on the court.
You survived your first ACC Media Day with all the questions about Duke and Mike Krzyzewski. How was the experience for you?
Yeah, that's the normal Media Day, you know. Well, there's always going to be some focus, and that was fine. And, you know, looking forward to getting into the ACC. It's a great league, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Once again, that's Syracuse Orange head coach Jim Boeheim, and yes, I did get him to smile on that last question, asking him what it was like to be at ACC Media Day and continue to be asked about Coach K of Duke, his relationship with him, and playing against Coach K. So it was nice to see Boeheim smile, and I thank him for taking time, as always, to speak with me. Truly means a lot, and I appreciate it very much. So that is Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com for this installment. Make sure you get to YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT or just simply search the Wake Up Call DT channel and get over 200 videos. We're actually getting close to 300 videos on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT. Over 40,000 hits. I cannot thank you enough for going and watching these videos. You do not want to miss every single Syracuse opponent in the new ACC, every player that was at ACC Operation Basketball in Charlotte, North Carolina, is on Wake Up Call DT on that YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/WakeUpCallDT, and you will see every single player that will go up against Syracuse that was at ACC Media Day in Charlotte. Of all 14 teams that Syracuse will face in their new conference, you'll also see C.J. Fair and Baikita, as well as Jim Boeheim, and you'll see the press conference from Syracuse Media Day when Syracuse came home to the Mello Center and had their own Media Day after ACC Media Day. You'll get Jim Boeheim there once again, and you will get 9 other exclusive interviews that you will only find on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT, including women's basketball head coach Quentin Hillsman and newly appointed associate head coach Von Reed, who had experience in the NBA, WNBA, and with other collegiate programs. And with Von Reed and Quentin Hillsman, put together a top 25 recruiting class for Syracuse heading into their first women's basketball season in the ACC. Don't miss any of it, and make sure that you become a member once again on WakeUpCallDT.com. as recruiting continues and when I'm on site at games and asking you questions in general. You don't want to miss out on those opportunities to stay in touch with me as the information comes out on wakeupcalldt.com. Before I go, I'd like to thank Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. The only place to go when you need ice cream. When it comes to that treat that you want to have. Whether it's mixing in your childhood favorite M&Ms into vanilla soft serve. Or it's getting a caramel sundae topped with cookie dough pieces and having chocolate or vanilla soft serve right under that in the Wake Up Call sundae. Or if you're just a fan of having one of those simple hot fudge sundaes that you've gotten for years. Whatever it may be, or if you're my dad and you like a banana shake, Carvel DeWitt is the place to go when it comes to your ice cream needs. Think about it. Whenever you've needed a tissue, you'll ask for a Kleenex. When you need something to put on a cut, you ask for a Band-Aid. Those brands have become household names, just like Carvel DeWitt, the longest-standing Carvel franchise in the entire nation. 60-plus years of service to the Central New York community, and anyone coming in to visit, Carvel Ice Cream at Carvel DeWitt is unlike any other, led by the staff of Jay Cartini, the owner, and everyone that he has working there with him that greets you when you come through the door and helps you to find what you need, be it a flying saucer or one of those sundaes that we spoke about, or, of course, the Carvel Ice Cream Cake. When it comes to getting an ice cream cake, there literally is not another place to go. There's not. And I'm not reading this off a sheet of paper. I'm telling you, when my grandfather had a birthday, we had a Carvel ice cream cake. My grandmother, who's 96 years old, every single year on December 15th, her birthday, right before Christmas, in the coldness of Central New York, what does she ask for? A Carvel ice cream cake. Because the weather doesn't matter. That same great taste never goes away, and that leads throughout the years. From my grandfather to my grandmother to my parents to my birthdays, Carvel has been a part of my life because we made it a part of our lives. Because we know that when you want to have something that you could trust when it comes to someone's birthday, anniversary, wedding, special event, you go to Carvel because you know that they're going to take care of you. There's certain places where you think maybe they will, maybe they won't. But when it comes to Carvel, you have that belief because of what they've done, because of how long, 60-plus years in Central New York, you have that belief in them that they will do things right, and they have. And that's why I'm proud to have the Wake Up Call Sunday only available at Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, in that development right across from Tops, where you can get chocolate or vanilla soft serve or a twist if you're feeling like you need both. And I do that sometimes as well. Topped off with cookie dough pieces, caramel swirl, whipped cream, and a cherry. And for those of you that are looking at your calories and saying, you know what, Dan, I love that Carvel flavor, but I wish I could have less that I have to worry about per calorie. I wish when I go in there, I wouldn't have to think I have to run an extra mile. Well, Carvel has gone the extra mile for you and provided you with Carvel Light with less calories per ounce so that you can go out there and get that Carvel treat that you want, your favorite as a kid or your favorite right now, whatever it may be, or if you're a first timer to pick your favorite, Carvel Light allows you an opportunity to not have to worry about your calories when you're going out there and getting something special with your family. So I thank Carvel for that, for reaching out with Carvel Light and the Wake Up Call Sunday. Make sure you reach out by going to them any day of the week, Monday through Sunday, open until 9 p.m. Get out to Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. Let them know that I sent you, and enjoy yourself, folks. It's something that stays with your family. If you're willing to go out and try Carvel, I find it very hard to believe that you won't step back in that door very soon. We have since I was a child, and I thank Jay Cartini for keeping things going and keeping Carvel strong in Central New York. Get out there, 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, right at the end of Erie Boulevard. I also want to thank FanHands.com, your number one fan accessory. When it comes to being a sports fan, you know that. When you define a sports fan, we're all different. We like different teams. different ages, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different knowledge on the sports that we're watching. But what constitutes a sports fan? The majority of us realize that when you're a sports fan, a lot of us look into the fact of if you're a true fan, you show up to the games, you cheer on your team. That's what you do. And if you can't show up to the game, you're still cheering them on. But the one thing that we can all put together, no matter what language we speak, where we came from, what our background is, what nationality, what sex we are, when it comes to being a sports fan, we all understand that a way of showing our team that we appreciate what they're doing is by clapping. It's by simply putting your hands together and letting them know, we're here for you, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter what's going on in the game, we got you. Know that we're here. We are the person that's here. In a basketball game, we're your sixth man. In a football game, we're your 12th man. In tennis, it doesn't matter the sport, from soccer to lacrosse, basketball, football, volleyball, and every sport around the country and the world. When you cheer on your team, you want to be loud. You want to let them know that no matter what's going on, you are right there supporting them all the way. And why not do that with Fan Hands, an inexpensive way to enhance your clap? It doesn't matter what language you speak. We all speak the same language when we clap our hands together. And Fan Hands, located on fanhands.com, is your easiest way to increase your clap, increase the sound, increase how much louder you can be at a game to cheer on the team that you know, cheer on the team that you love. FanHands.com with 11 different colors to find your favorite team. Purchase your pair of Fan Hands. They cost $9.99, folks. Inexpensive accessory to take to the game that you don't have to worry about, like the foam finger, or think about because of what Miley Cyrus did, but we'll leave that alone. Or have to deal with the fact of where do you put the clapper when you have the clapper? If you have a megaphone, where do you set that? Fan Hands are easy. You want to eat something? Take them off your hands, slip them in your pocket. You're done with your nachos, pop them back on, and start clapping again. You have a drink in your hand? You don't have to put your Fan Hands down. That's the beauty of it. It's the number one fan accessory because it allows you to be a true fan. And it also allows you to enjoy the game without having to worry about what you're going to do with this accessory that you brought. It truly is the best friend of the number one sports fan. FanHands.com. Get there now and get clapping. I also want to thank Dreisig Apparel, who has provided me with all of the Wake Up Call with Dan Satora merchandise that we give out at all the live events that I've had at Carvel DeWitt, Toby Keith's in Syracuse, and other places. I thank Dreisig Apparel for all that they do. DreisigAthletic.com can help you out. It's not just for the business owner like myself. It's for anyone. You have a team that you want to support here. If you're a coach for a YMCA travel league, or you have a high school team that's getting out there and you want them to look good for sectionals, whatever it may be, when it comes to your sports team, head to DreisigAthletic.com. That's DreisSIG Athletic. DreisSIG Athletic.com has phenomenal wear for any sports team, wherever you are, whatever you need. When it comes to truly looking good, feeling good, and having durable clothing that you know is going to come from a company that cares, trust DreisigAthletic.com. And for the lady out there, Dreisig Lady takes care of a woman, whatever she's doing, be it jogging in the morning, going to the gym, driving around in the car, relaxing at home, taking care of the kids. If you're a businesswoman to the stay-at-home mom, when it comes to feeling good in the clothes that you're wearing and having clothes that are going to move with you as you move throughout your day, DreisigLady.com will give you what you need and cover you the right way. DreisigLady.com. That's DreisSIG Lady.com. And also coming up, I am proud to announce right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, the only place that you'll find the exclusive that you just listened to, would like to announce the fact that Salt City Billiards in Mattydale, New York, and Pole Position Raceway in Destiny, USA, in Syracuse, New York, will both be joining Dan Satora Broadcast Media in the near future. Salt City Billiards, the place that you need to go to. When it comes to playing a game of pool, you want to be able to relax, hang out with your friends in the community, and feel like you're in a place that understands that no matter what type of pool player you are, from beginner to the extreme pool player, the one that's the shark that kind of sits in the background and makes you think that they don't know what they're doing, then they bust out their own cue and start playing. You remember that Family Matters episode. Salt City Billiards is the place to go when you want to go and enjoy the pool when it's cold outside. Think about it that way, folks. In the summer, you're jumping in the pool. When the winter months come around and these fall months are cold as well, you can enjoy the pool still at Salt City Billiards, playing pool throughout the night and enjoying their food that they provide for you on location right there, made there, from the team at Salt City Billiards. Make sure that you check them out in Mattydale. Keeping with sports, for those of you that enjoy watching car movies or you enjoy watching NASCAR, whatever it may be, you know it. You get that need for speed. You want to get out there and you want to enjoy jumping into a car and experiencing what it's like to race yourself. And now you have the opportunity to do so in a place that I never thought I would say it would be possible. Inside the mall that I grew up with down the street, Carousel Mall, becoming Destiny USA, and adding within it on the third floor, Pole Position Raceway, an indoor electric kart experience for a quarter mile track that allows you the opportunity to finally be the driver, and not just the driver when you're at a video arcade and you're sitting down in the seat and you're just turning the wheel and stepping on the pedal. This is you. You're in the electric car. You're going around this track. You have to make the decisions. You have to know what you're doing, when you're doing it. You need to have a plan. And I love the fact that at Pole Position Raceway, when I've sat in that cart myself, I was able to have my own plan, to make my decisions, to get out on a track and say, I'm not just watching a video game. I'm not just sitting here watching television. I'm the guy. I'm the driver. I'm behind my car right now trying to get myself where I want to be, and that's across that finish line. Pole Position Raceway, allowing anyone from children all the way through to the business owner when it comes to kids' parties and corporate events. When you want to get out there and do something truly exhilarating, different, exciting, so many different emotions did I feel sitting in that cart, driving around that track. What a unique experience. Something that you cannot afford to not go out and do. PolePositionRaceway.com. You can get more information there. And, of course, go out and see the track and get yourself in one of their electric carts immediately at Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. And make sure if your kid's birthday party's coming up, or if you're the new general manager of a company and you want to get some team building going on and learn about the personalities of the people that are now working for you, and let them know a little bit about who you are, more than just talking around a conference room table. A great place to do that is at Pole Position Raceway, once again at Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, on the third floor. Get more information on PolePositionRaceway.com. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Totora, featuring exclusive information that you can only find through Dan Totora Broadcast Media. When you're a sports fan that wants to hear originality, comedy, and have someone who has integrity, morals, values, faith, this is your place to go when it comes to the information that you yearn for, even if you don't know it yet. And at the same time, to have those stories told that are truly special makes people individuals and not just players. Makes them humans and not just numbers, not just a stat line. Wake Up Call with Dan Totora and Dan Totora Broadcast Media is your place to find the stories that touch the heart as well as touching the sports fan's mind. Right here on WakeUpCallDT.com and also on the Google Play Store app SportsDT, that's SportsDT, and on your iPad, iPhone, and iPod by going to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, MOBILE, and getting the app there. And you could also go to the Apple Store and search Sports DT. That's SportsDT. Once again, so many ways to get involved with the company that allows you to listen from your computer, tablet, iPad, iPod, smartphone, iPad, whatever it may be. When it comes to electronics, whether you have your tablet with you, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, or you're sitting in front of your desktop, where else can you listen to a show at any time on any device that allows you to get access to the internet? Wake Up Call with Dan Totora and Dan Totora Broadcast Media, proud to provide the sports fan what you need on your schedule. I'll talk to you very soon. This is Dan Totora for Dan Totora Broadcast Media. God bless.